As the Illinois legislative session begins to wind down, we've been following what might happen with school funding in the state of Illinois, including whether or not the state might change how it funds schools. Dusty Rhodes is our education desk reporter. And Dusty, you've mentioned a new school funding plan. It's called the evidence-based model. Can you explain that for us?
Well, not really, not yet. Just this week, there were a couple of PowerPoint presentations on it, but there's still no actual legislation. There's no bill. So we've been hearing kind of rumblings about this for more than a year. Senator Jason Berrickman was a proponent of it. Vision 2020, it's this big group of, you know, kind of upper echelon administrators, school superintendents, board members, business officers. But every time I've asked about a bill, the answer is soon, very soon. But there still hasn't been one filed. And honestly, I missed one of the PowerPoint presentations. It happened right while the Senate was voting on Andy Menard's school funding bill, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. So I can tell you a little bit about the evidence-based plan. It uses a prototype of a good school to establish the list of attributes that are proven to produce things like higher test scores, lower dropout rates, all kinds of good stuff. And those attributes include, for example, class size. Like, studies show that the best class size for kindergarten through third grade is about 15 kids. So that's why they call it evidence-based. It calculates how much it would cost to achieve that, you know, each attribute, and then it funnels new state funds towards schools that need help achieving those goals. The neediest schools would get first dibs on new infusions of cash, but even the wealthiest districts would continue to receive small amounts, kind of like a cost of living increase. So there's an advocacy group called EdRed that helped create this plan, and they represent suburban districts, including some of the wealthiest in the state, like New Trier and Rondout. Rondout is a district that spends something like $32,000 per student per year. And so the state average, just to put that in perspective, is around $12,000. So they spend more than double the state average.
So the question at the State House for any school funding plan is, how much would it cost and which districts would be winners and which would be losers? So how does that work out?
Well, those are great questions, and nobody knows. If I understand this plan, it would be whatever amount the General Assembly chooses to appropriate and just distribute that amount based on this model. The figure they're throwing around is $5 billion over 10 years. As for how it would affect specific districts, nobody knows, because here's the really crucial thing. It would be based on the per-pupil funding levels for fiscal year 17, and it would hold districts harmless at that amount. So no district would lose money from where they start in FY17. Obviously, nobody can run a model on that and say who would win or lose, because we still don't know what we're doing with funding for FY17.
So Governor Bruce Rauner has a proposal out there. It doesn't really call for any dramatic changes in the funding formula. And of course, Andy Menard has his, and it does help out some of the smaller and less wealthy school districts in the state. The Senate approving that on Tuesday, Menard's bill. Realistically, what are the hopes for that? That plan has never made it through the House before.
Right. Menard did not get enough votes in the Senate to be veto-proof. And that's partly because the numbers showing how his bill would affect each district rolled out very late. They came in three different versions. You know, there was confusion over which version was correct. So we saw senators standing up arguing against this bill when the schools in their districts would actually gain money. Menard thinks that that's because the governor must have told them to fight it. But it may be just because they were confused, couldn't figure out which spreadsheet to use. But they're framing it as a Chicago bailout. Now, you know, Menard is from Bunker Hill. He frames it as a poverty bailout because it proportionally gives more of a bailout, you know, to like Beardstown, Harvey. So he says, why don't you call it the Harvey bailout? But, you know, he's studied school funding for years. I was at the state board meeting yesterday, and the chairman, James Meeks, you know, he pointed out that Menard was chief of staff in the Senate when he filed his own school funding bill back in 2009. And he goes, I like to think that's where you got the bug. And Menard said, yes. He said, I don't know whether to hold it against you or not. But that's how long he's been studying this issue. But you're right. You know, it doesn't seem to have great prospects in the House. Speaker Mike Madigan took his own shot with a constitutional amendment that failed. But that doesn't mean he's going to throw his weight behind Menard, because after all, that's not his idea.
And the governor we mentioned has a plan. What about that one?
It's more of the same, like literally more money into the exact same formula that we've used since 1997. And even the governor says it's inequitable, flawed, rotten to the core. But the reason he's pushing that plan is he says there's no time to understand Menard's bill and that school districts need to just know how much they're getting so they can open their doors next fall. But, you know, actually putting more money into that formula shows how flawed it is. Like East St. Louis loses money and that district has 100% poverty level. Rondout, the district I mentioned earlier, actually gains money. So now we have this new thing, this evidence-based plan seems to get some bipartisan support. It's going to build on one of those or the other, so whichever one we choose.
And that is Dusty Rhodes. She's the Education Desk reporter.